something went on here and something went on there.
This time on TNT.
For some reason, we talk a lot about the Crash Test Dummies.
And we play a new game, Canadian or Canadian.
And we talk about our favorite childhood made-up games. All coming up right now on TNT.
41, TNT, hey JT.
Jeremy Taggart, it's good to hear your voice again.
Hey, if it's not that buddy Salvador, how are you doing today?
I am doing good, how are you doing again?
Pretty good, how's the job?
The job is great, just sounds so friendly but so far away from me.
Yeah, do you miss home?
I would like to take the time to thank you for answering the phone when I call your face.
I love Salvador.
Me too, and I think there's a little Salvador in all of us, whether we care to admit it or not.
Absolutely. I love how he starts to just use words to kind of deflect the fact that you want to talk about anything personal.
My friend Ron Murphy, who is a great director and does an unbelievable Christopher Walken impression, says that you need a word to get into an impersonation, and his Christopher Walken word is, sure.
Yeah, there
so we'll start
go.
A sentence with like, sure, I, you know, whatever. And with Salvador, it's again. It's so nice to see you again.
Yeah, no,
for some reason,
for
again,
sure.
Really puts me in the pocket.
It just keeps it grounded, yes.
He can make everything sound dirty.
Just in case you think it's going somewhere else, it's back to again.
Again.
Just like,
what's new with you, bud? How you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. I'm enjoying this warmth. It's beautiful. I'm wearing shorts and flops.
Almost. You wearing jean shorts, bud?
No jean shorts. But jean shorts are back, eh? The ones with that are just like pockets. You see the pockets coming down the bottom, like.
For dudes, though.
Huh?
Are dudes wearing jean shorts?
Yeah, the hipster dudes are for sure.
Like short jean shorts for dudes.
Go to Queen Street and you'll see jean shorts on guys.
But they don't go mid-thigh or below the knee? They're shorties?
Well, not quite as like non-shorts as the girls wear, but close. Like just the...
Wow.
Seriously, like I can pretty much collect an semblance of a nut coming out there, bud. You don't need...
So talk us through your shorts, bud. What are you wearing for shorts?
Right now, I got some classic three-stripe Adidas.
Green. Nice.
The shorter ones, not the long ones. So kind of like the 80s tennis shorts.
Do you still have them left over, or those are new?
These are from the... these are actually from the late 90s.
Really?
Yeah, man. They're hanging around.
Where'd you get them that you thought, you know what I'm going to do? They're pick like, those up real quick.
They're absolutely... The green, they got that like... Rod Laver tip kind of deal.
Green with white stripe. Did you get them at Athlete's Foot?
These are like, these go with the Stan Smiths, I believe. Remember those? The green Stan Smith
Adidas I loved shoes? Stan Smiths. And in fact, yeah. I think they're back too, aren't they?
Oh, they've never gone away. They've, well,
I love the Stan Smiths. And I also loved, who made North Stars?
North Stars. I don't know. They were very popular back in the day.
Yeah.
I think they might have gone the way of the Bargain Heralds or the
My
byway.
Favorite sneaker ever was a low-cut Adidas Patrick Ewing in the late 80s, and they don't make... I think you can find high tops around on eBay, but I can't find a pair of low tops in a 12. So if you're listening and you have some in your garage, I'm prepared to pay top dollar for them because they were white with blue and orange Knicks colors.
That's... You're going to, what, rock those? Just... For J-Rock or just for you?
No, in life. Remember Converse Weapons?
Yes.
Larry Bird had them and on the back? Magic had them.
Didn't they have like little insignias on the back, like wings or like...
Yeah. I don't remember weapons. The wings.
There was some, but they or probably was it the did. Jordans that got into the actual like... There was art on there. They started writing cheesy little, like these are, they look like little boats.
First art I remember is on the Jordans, like the Air Jordans with his silhouette on the back. Those were rad.
I never had a pair of those.
No, I didn't either.
I rocked the, I'm trying to remember what I wore when I was a kid. I think I wore like the classic, the low cut Converse.
Or the, those don't have PF, any support though. They look great, but they're not comfortable.
PF Flyers.
Didn't ever have those. Do you know what I had? I was either ahead of the curve or way behind it. And I remember I was the first kid in elementary school that had kangaroo sneakers, the Velcro ones with the little pouch on the side.
Whoa, I remember those. Yeah.
I think they're called right Roos now.
With the rugby pants. This yeah. The burgundy with the white stripes.
And I was just always off color-wise. Everyone had green UPEI hoodies, and I got a gray one. Like, I just couldn't make it happen.
Didn't you say you had the gray ruggers with the purple stripes?
Yeah, navy stripes. And everyone had navy ones with the white stripes.
Yeah, I only had...
Even red with the navy stripes would have been okay.
The purple. The gray
and those one. Adidas track bags, too. Everyone had, like, navy or green or red. And my mom got me a silver one with navy handles. Like, still Adidas, but, like... Adidas from Mars.
Wow. I remember having a Happy Days plastic lunchbox.
Did you really?
Yeah, with the click down buttons, you know, the big old, and the thermos in the top with Fonzie on the front.
Everyone in my class had Duran Duran or Michael Jackson lunchboxes, and I had a gray thermos, like construction site lunchbox. Just did never landed in the pocket. That was
brutal, right?
Always just outside the pocket. Like, when I was in grade one, we went on a trip to Houston.
Lunchtime is a big time of judging, man. A lot of judgment going on in the lunchrooms.
Yeah, for sure.
On people, the way they bring their stuff in, you become classed with your snack.
Yeah.
You know, if you got like the expensive Joe Louis or the Demi Loons.
Yeah.
Or you got the kid who's got like, you know, no snack with some carrots. And there's always the rich kids with all the Joe Louis and the
fancy snacks. Like Jell-O or pudding. We weren't allowed that stuff. I had like a head of lettuce and some carrot sticks.
Yeah. A cut up orange and Buddy's rocking the passion flaky.
Or I had granola bars, but not the bendy ones, and they didn't have marshmallows or chocolate chips in them. Like, just the gag-it-down sawdust granola bars.
Yeah. Or always those, like, always those, like, the Sable cookies.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two of those.
Yeah, maybe an oatmeal cookie. In grade one, we went to Houston, and you know when you're a kid and you go away on a trip and you're allowed to get one thing? At the airport in Houston, when we arrived, I saw a white three-piece suit, like JR from Dallas. And I was like, Mom, that's my one thing. She said, well, we're going to be here for a week. We're going to do a bunch of fun stuff. Look around. Maybe there's something else you want. And if you really can't find anything else, then we'll get you the white three-piece suit.
Like a Boss Hog suit, full on.
Yeah, it was full on JR from Dallas. And so the whole week, she was like, do you want an Astros batting helmet? No. Everything that came along was like, no, I don't want that. I know exactly what I want, the white three-piece suit. So at the airport on the way out of Dodge, I got fitted and got a white three-piece suit and rocked that back to Sherwood, Prince Edward Island in April when the red mud is starting to show through the snow.
But what's up with that? Did you want to do the character or you just wanted to be riding high?
I don't even really know, but do you remember as a kid just getting things in your head and you would not be swayed? Maybe part of it was because she was trying so hard to sway me with other things, and I would not take my eye off the prize. Although, I balked at a Houston Astros batting helmet. I thought that'd be pretty cool, too.
Yeah, but I held out for the suit. Didn't want to go for the Nolan Ryan jersey?
No. Nice name recall.
Yeah, that was like... around the era when the Bad News Bears played in the Astrodome. Remember that one?
Vaguely.
Yeah, like at the end, they're actually playing the game in there, in the Astrodome. When the Astrodome opened, remember how big a deal that was, just as a thing?
Sort of. Because you were more into baseball, I wonder if that was bigger news in your world.
I thought it was like architecturally pretty insane as well.
So you were into baseball and architecture as a child?
No, I just remember it being a big deal. Like, Evel Knievel, that's incredible. The Astrodome going up. Stuff like that. That's like my headlines in 1983 or something.
Do you mean when the TV show up? That's 70s? Incredible?
Huh?
Do you mean the TV show That's Incredible? Remember that?
Yeah, Fran Tarkenton.
And those John amazing Davidson. Animals. And Up With yes. People. I always lumped those people. Together.
And what was the one with Fred Willard? Remember that one?
Fernwood Tonight?
Yeah!
A fake talk show? It's a great yeah. show. Martin yes. Mull and Fred Willard.
Yeah. See, we had...
You know, have we ever talked about Bizarre and John Byner?
We should, because it was great and classic and filmed in Toronto. I think we've mentioned it a little bit, but that was a hilarious show. A lot of funny characters in that show.
And wasn't Super Dave on that yep. show? Is Super Dave That's Canadian?
Super Dave is American, but he started in that show. Super Dave, the brother of that comedian actor, Albert Brooks. That's his brother.
No way. Believe it
or not. Huh?
No way. I didn't know that.
Yes! Little
Well, it fact. Actually segues nicely into the game that we're going to play a little later, which is Canadian or Canadian, where I will give you a series of inventions and you have to guess. We went not with the obvious ones like poutine and butter tarts and Nanaimo bars. I dug a yeah. little deeper and came up with some inventions that might surprise you to learn that they're Canadian, or maybe they're not. So this Super Dave, exciting. I didn't know yeah. he was not Canadian.
Yes.
John Byner, I did know. He is Canadian.
Is he Canadian? I think
Well,
he
now
is.
You have me second-guessing everything. The show was, wasn't it?
Well, I know the show was filmed here, but I'm not sure if he's from here. Well, we should check that out.
Well, you know Mr. Dress-Up is American. Was yeah. American. He's from Maine. And I think Mr. Rogers was Canadian.
No.
I think.
Really?
Oh, man, we need a research department.
Yeah. Too bad we didn't have the head behind the glass working on it right now.
I know. Well, I'm going to try to work on it one-handed. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, you keep talking for a sec. Fred Rogers, born.
Fred Rogers, yes. I don't know if he's Canadian, but it could be. That would be one of the ones I didn't really know. That would be like, you know.
No, that's a myth. He's from Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Oh, see? Just stirring it up.
But Ernie Coombs, I'm 96% sure, was born in Maine. Stand by.
Ernie Coombs. It's
worth waiting for. Yeah, Lewiston, Maine. Ernie yeah. Coombs, born in Lewiston, Maine. Wait a minute. If we're exposing these people, where's Fred Penner from?
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny if he's from, like, Cheektowaga?
Born in the Peg, bud.
Oh, that's hard, man. That's a dark.
Born in the Peg, bud. have to do one more. Where was Raffy born?
Raffy?
Yeah.
Peterborough?
Cairo. Close.
Cairo?
Yeah. Cairo, Egypt. No. But I believe, loosely translated, Cairo is Peterborough.
Did we get this? I thought he was Canadian.
I did too.
He was popular everywhere, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I thought he was Canadian, though. Who did
I thought
Baby
you said he's
Beluga?
Born in Cairo.
Who did Baby Beluga?
Baby Beluga? I don't know.
Yeah. It's a kid's song. I thought that was Raffy.
But you just said he's from Cairo.
Well, he is, but I remember Baby Beluga from my childhood. Nursery
See, sometimes that
song.
Happens being in Canada. You get used to it and you think it's only big in Canada, or you do the opposite. Like, you think something that was big in Canada was big everywhere, like music. I've had that conversation with TV and stuff and music with friends in the States, and they're like, what? Beachcombers?
No. What are you talking about?
Or, you know, like, Honeymoon Suite. Not that
what do you mean you guys didn't have Hanging In with Lally Caddo?
Yeah, or, you know, hey, I know that song. I don't know that Frozen Ghost. Don't talk to me about that.
Or especially with some of the one-hit wonders, like Crash Test Dummies are known as the mm-mm-mm-mm band.
Yeah.
Because they were a one-hit wonder in the States, but they rocked the mic like a bandit in Canada.
And they had the Superman song. Never made any money.
That was a good joint.
Even the world, Solomon Grundy.
You can remember go down song? There.
Oh.
Sometimes I despair the world will never see another bit. Like him. Tarzan was king of the jungle.
They did go in the bridge.
All the apes. But he could hardly string together four words. I Tarzan, you Jane.
It was always
sometimes when soup was down grinds.
I maintain it's hard to have control over your voice at that depth.
How about like arguing while you're writing that song? He's like, sometimes. He's like, no. And he's like, they stop and they start it again. Super.
It'd be funny if his speaking voice is really high. Like, guys, I think I have it.
Tarzan was king of the jungle. Yeah, right over all the apes.
I have an idea for a sketch that I want to do. And I can't get it out of my head. It's an idea for a sketch I want to do called John Mayer Backup Singer. And it's like a biography of a guy. And you just see him standing in a recording booth with headphones on. And there's silence for like 30 seconds. And then all he does is go, waiting. And then there's silence for another 30 seconds. Because that's all like he ever does.
Like the Andy Kaufman, Mickey Mouse or whatever the bit that he did on SNL.
Did he?
Remember the record plays and he only does the one line and that's it?
There are no original ideas anymore. That I'll have to Google.
I know.
It's a good one, bud.
Oh, well. Yep. That's the way it is.
And let's take a quick break on TNT and then we'll play Canadian or Canadian. Want to?
Let's play that game.
We'll take a break and be right back on this 41st edition of Taggart and Torrens. Hang on.
You won't believe what America's like, yeah?
Hey, Jonathan.
The bears know.
Oh, they did that. Please, Lord, man. I was gonna do the blonde.
Ellen lady. From the Crash Tests is a great singer. Probably never got her due because her harmonies are really nice. But I remember I was selling T-shirts on the boardwalk in Cavendish one summer, and I just loved their version of the First Noel, and I kept playing it. And I got in real trouble from an American tourist who thought it was sacrilege to be playing a Christmas carol in July.
Why?
Just I guess Bible because belted. It's a song about the birth of the Lamb of God and has nothing to do with summer.
Yeah, and that therefore is bad idea and they're allowed to cast down upon you.
Bizarre. But Ellen's harms in that song? Sick.
Solid harms. Hey, how about Colin Pranks coming into fruition for real with Colin Hanks? What is that?
Okay, so explain how that happened. I sort of heard a rumor on the wind. What exactly is that?
Some American Comedy Network show, they brought him in and they're doing prank calls with Colin Hanks, and it's called Colin Pranks. It's just so...
Can we sue?
No, I wish. Hey, wouldn't that be fun?
I guess first, it's kind of a win-win, because if we lose, we still win from exposure.
Yeah.
I guess the first thing we should do is find out when they did it. Because imagine if it was a boomerang like they actually sued us.
Like a cease and desist letter together. Yeah.
They shot it 2 years ago, and they accuse us of clowning.
Well, then the Adam Carolla show was due and Hit the Post a couple weeks ago. That was pretty bizarre.
Did they call it Hit the Post?
Yes, but I mean, not that we invented that game or the name of it or anything, but the fact that they're all of a sudden hitting the post, like for half an hour in the show, was pretty funny, just all of a sudden.
Were they good at it?
They had a guy on there, I guess, who had done the radio, so he was just kind of doing... The radio guy, those lines. It wasn't quite
Did
as
you
funny.
See that Abad sent us a video of them hitting the post?
Yes. Yeah,
it was so great.
So great, someone trying to hit the post. It's hard.
Keep sending your videos, because a lot of people will send messages and say, you know, my wife and I are in the car for 2 hours and we're playing Hit the Post every time a song comes on. Take videos of them and send them, and we'll make sure we repost them, because they're really fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure.
And it is harder than it looks.
Absolutely, especially if you get a long jam or a song that's just kind of sneaky. Album track.
Okay, so speaking of sneaky, Canadian or Canadian, are you ready?
No, I'm ready.
There are the famous ones like basketball. And is it the Robertson screwdriver?
Yep, I think so.
The ice cream sundae, the zipper, those are all Canadian inventions, yep. And they're pretty well known.
Yeah.
So the first one, is this Canadian or Canadian? The instant replay.
Oh.
In televised sports, the instant replay. Canadian or Canadian?
Canadian or Canadian? Wow, that's tough because, you know, I can't see, you know, like on maybe if they did it in curling or something first, but I'm going to say Canadian.
This is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This is good. Talk it out.
I'm going
to
say Canadian, that it's not.
Incorrect. It's it Canadian.
Is. Oh, give
a me CBC
the
TV producer named George Retzlaff created it in 1955 during a broadcast of Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, interesting.
Spectacular.
It's like learn-tertainment we're doing today.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. You ready?
I'm ready.
The egg carton.
Wow, that's a biggie. Because I've been in other places and I've seen egg cartons. So it's not like the milk bag.
Where? Thing. I don't believe that for a minute.
You know, some people like milk in bags, like Americans, they don't get it. They don't see it ever. Because we do it here in a lot of provinces, the bagged milk.
Milk in bags.
Yeah.
Remember?
It could be one of those kind of things that kind of jumped worldwide. You never know. I'm going to say Canadian. Why not?
And I'm going to say correct.
Really? Break it down.
Newspaper editor Joseph Coyle of Smithers, British Columbia, invented the egg carton in 1911.
Swank.
Here's one that'll melt your mind. Peanut butter. It. Canadian peanut? Or not?
Did you say peanut butter?
Yep.
Peanut butter. Canadian or Canadian? I'm going to say Canadian. Let's go. Why not?
Correct.
Nice! Let's break it down!
Montreal pharmacist Marcellus Gilmore Edson invented and patented it in 1884 as a food option for people who couldn't chew.
Wow.
Wild, eh? Kind of surprising that peanut butter was invented before the egg carton.
Yeah.
Which came first, the peanut or the egg?
That's awesome.
The motorized
that.
Wheelchair, Canadian or Canadian?
I'm going to say Canadian, no, just because that it hasn't been one yet.
So you think Canadian?
Yeah.
It's Canadian, bud.
Oh, right.
George Klein. Fun
Georgie.
Game.
Georgie K.
The garbage bag. Canadian or Canadian?
That's a big one.
Household item.
Worldwide household item. Canadian.
You got it in the bag, bud. Correct.
Oh, wow. Really?
Drop it was a twofer.
Harry
Wasilik of Manitoba and Larry Hansen from Ontario invented it in 1950.
Wow. That's like Ready? The trivial pursuit of garbage collection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the garbage community, that's big news. The Zamboni.
Oh, we know that's Canadian.
Incorrect.
Oh, wasn't there someone who wrote in that their dad, grandfather claimed to have invented it or something and had gotten to fights?
Well, then, hate to say it, Bob, but your grandfather was a liar because Frank and Lawrence Zamboni, the Zamboni brothers... Oh. Invented it in Southern California. They were born in Utah, and I think they were in, so the legend goes, they were in the produce industry and had to invent something along the lines of refrigeration to keep their produce fresh in Southern California, and then someone came along with a better cooling mechanism, so they were kind of out of luck until skating rinks started popping up, and they needed ways to wash them.
Wow.
The Zamboni is Canadian.
Nice one. The Zamboni boys.
Here, one, Do you want one more, bud?
I would love one more. This is great.
The bag tag.
Ooh, the bag tag. In what sense?
Like, not the, do you have a sleeping bag? Then you should wake it up. Like, not the below the belt punch.
Oh, my God.
I mean the thing that goes on your suitcase.
Not the one with the punch.
Not the one with my cane punch. Again.
You know that one? When he says... Whatever.
Alamar. Bacon gotcha.
Breaking it down for you. Right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know the one. Yeah. Got the taste.
Have you acted before? Well, I did a commercial. You don't say. Only maybe the most famous commercial in Canadian history.
And then what did he say?
The bag tag. Canadian or not?
The bag tag is Canadian.
John Michael Lyons of New Brunswick invented the first bag tag in 1882.
Nice.
Kind of interesting.
I love that. Yeah.
We have a rich cultural heritage and much to be proud of. This was kind of a tricky one. The paint roller. This is a bonus one.
Ooh, the paint roller. That is a, man, these are crazy items here. These are things that you'd think would have been, you know, invented all over America or something.
Wouldn't mind have been involved in the paint roller action from day one. You'd be sitting pretty today.
Whoa, yeah. I'm going to say Canadian.
Kind of a trick question. It was invented by a Canadian named Norman Brakey, but he didn't have the dough to patent it. So it was actually patented by an American. But Norm invented the paint roller.
That's a good one.
If Norman Brakey was still with us, we should make him the bot of the week, because he didn't get in on any money from the paint roller. But hey, bud, free t-shirt.
That would be a great move. Everybody can use a paint roller in their life.
Norman Hart Brakey died penniless and alone because he didn't have the dough to patent the paint roller.
Of a breaky heart.
Yep. Poor Norm.
Wow. Poor Norm. I hate those kind of stories.
I do too.
What do we do about that? Time machine? Get him sorted?
I guess so. Steal it from doesn't the guy seem who took fair. The
yeah.
But you know, someone had to invent those simple things. Like the post-it note, doesn't that have a Canadian rock connection? Or was it liquid paper?
No, that's the monkeys, Mike Nesmith. His dad or something invented the liquid paper, so he was like a trust funder.
So he was an heir to the liquid paper fortune?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of them out there. You'd be surprised how many musicians out there still living on their silver spoon.
Well, I wonder.
And act like that's.
You know, I wonder, liquid.
The black credit card's going to daddy, not the big check.
Liquid paper must have gone the way of the dodo with computers. Like, does anyone use liquid paper anymore?
I know. I guess Mike Nesmith's probably not rolling like he was in the 70s.
So wait a minute. How long has liquid paper been around? Because wasn't the monkeys the 60s?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been around a long time.
I wonder if liquid paper was around then.
It was. Because he was rich from that already.
People have been making mistakes that long.
Yeah, I think it was probably hit the market in the 50s maybe. Who knows?
They don't even really teach cursive writing anymore in school, do they?
No. They don't.
Like,
that's crazy.
How old's your oldest kid? Nine?
Nine.
And can he write longhand, or do they have like iPads in class and stuff?
They're just printing like crazy. Spelling's all there and dialed in math, but they don't teach it in the class. So that's unless you're giving them calligraphy lessons on the weekends, they're not going to learn it.
So you're doing that.
Do you bring them downstairs and get the feather? Take them down. Get it right.
Dad, have you seen
me
plume?
No, that's not an A. That's not an A.
Have you seen
smacking
me inkwell?
Bold, more bold.
Your eye needs work, I'm afraid.
Another hour and we'll come back. We're just writing lines all day.
There are so many different British accents, and I wish I was better at knowing where they're from. But I guess Liverpool is maybe...
You love the Birmingham one. That's the one you kind of
is it
to. Yeah, the Liverpuglian.
Yeah, Liverpool.
These ones.
those Liverpool and Birmingham, they all talk like this, you know.
Well, and that's the...
Like they've just got a small hole to speak from. Just a little one at the bottom. Mummy?
It's like, for, I guess from watching old Beatles interviews and stuff.
Yeah. Because you're Hard Day's Night, that's classic.
Because that's how they talked. Air Canada has some Hard Day's Night. Air Canada has some old movies going. I watched some Hard Day's Night in the last couple of weeks on a flight.
Yeah, see how they're just walking around and it's just people chasing them and for some reason it's a hit?
Yeah.
Because of their cool, calm, and collective one-liners.
Yeah, and yet some of them I really could use subtitles for. Like, it'd be a totally different experience to get every reference. But because it's of a time and because of their pop culture references that are lost on me, I kind of get about 50% of it.
I think if you think about it, it's like, okay, this was done just because people were going apeshit for the band. So, like, it's just, like, 2 seconds in their life that they could care less. So, if, like, you hear one or two one-liners, like, I don't think you should be digging any deeper than that into it just because it's just, like, promotion that has, it's, that's how big it got. You know what I mean? Like, it's, there's nothing there. The guy who put it together, everything, every movie they ever did was just this, like, completely done small, fast, and expensive. You know what I mean?
But the musical, like, performances were gorgeous.
What a piece of shit that movie is.
Which one?
The Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrendous, man. Like, awful. And Help, it's like, okay, yeah, that's a good movie. No, it's because they're in it. Or that's the only reason. The music's great, but it's like, it's so, like, how is it not great when you're cutting to those songs? But then it's like cheap, like, lampoon humor.
The music's so great, though.
The Magic Christian's a good movie with Peter Sellers and Ringo. That's
classic. Is it ever?
How I Won the War is all right with John Lennon. That's not bad. Like, when they did real movies, wasn't as bad, nearly. But those other ones are just so thrown together, you know?
I went through a major Peter Sellers phase. I think he was, I mean, obviously an unbelievably gifted character actor. But what a dark, dark soul.
Yeah, definitely.
So
real dark.
Letterman retiring. How do you feel about that?
I'm going to miss his mug. I mean, it's one of those things where I used to love his show as a kid. I mean, to me, that's still, like, I'll watch YouTube videos of him from, like, the early 80s, and just, it's great. I love it. Like, the initial, when Jay Leno was funny, and you know, he'd come on with, like, a sandwich and hang out, and or Andy Kaufman, or George Carlin, you know, just when he was... a comic around, as opposed to the, you know, the difference now when you see those types of people, they're just kind of doing their thing as it happens. And he was just great, like, probably the best interviewer ever in terms of just talking and keeping it interesting and keeping the energy up. And I'll miss him. I saw the show once. I was at it. Pearl Jam was
wow,
and I was just kind of cruised in hanging with them, and I got to see it from behind the scenes, and he's just very down on himself. Like, he was, like, just kind of would leave mad and probably go and yell at writers, and seemed just like a real kind of serious, intense guy.
Yeah, you certainly definitely read that he's a grump, but you kind of buried the lead there. How did you end up at David Letterman with Pearl Jam?
Totally. Well, I was just hanging with Matt Cameron, was a buddy back then. I'd see him all the time, and Greg Keplinger was who's still a friend that I talk to all the time. I still talk to Matt very rarely, but still think he's amazing, awesome dude. But I speak to Greg all the time, and Greg was teching with Matt when they were doing the show. So I think it was an interesting day because we went there and watched the show during the day. And then I brought Matt and Greg over to Elvin Jones' place for dinner.
Whoa.
That was amazing. Elvin and Keiko, his wife, made this elaborate, like, 3 or 4 hour dinner with all these different segments and parts, and it was just like a full night hanging out with Elvin Jones and his wife, and we had a really great night. It was awesome. So it was a good day, but started with Letterman, which is pretty cool.
Is the temperature in the Ed Sullivan Theater as cold as everybody says? Like, he likes to keep it like freezing, 60, right? Yeah.
It's the coldest I've ever been in. Like, Conan is cold, Leno is pretty cold, but like Letterman is freezing cold. Like, it's cold.
You guys played on Conan, right?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Was he a cool guy?
But, he was always amazing. Yeah. But again, it's towards, like, as that show, I think when I was in OLP, we played it 5 times, and by the 5th time, it was really a big show. And I think we played it the first year that it was on the air, and you could see the difference in the, I guess, the, not Conan himself, but just the pressure that he's under when he's becoming popular, and when you have to try and get things from your staff, and you have like ratings to deal with and trying to stay on top. Like, you could see that he was also, it wasn't an easy job by any stretch. Like, I can't imagine what Fallon does every day, because he has so much that happens in a show that not only do you have to keep it light, but you have to kind of make sure everything's funny and working, and there's so many different things to have to go right. So, for a lot of pressure. So I don't blame them for being kind of intense.
Well, I mean, we do an hour a week at the best of times. Yeah. That's our maximum output. These guys are doing an hour a night, and under the scrutiny of everybody, including critics who are just looking for reasons to say you're off your game or it's not working. I know. Did you see Norm Macdonald's set on Letterman?
Incredible.
So great.
I thought that was maybe the best comedy I've heard in 15 years.
The stand-up set was so solid and made me laugh out loud, but he was so clearly moved just to be doing his final set on Letterman and really shared the impact of what Letterman meant to him. If you're at all a fan of comedy, you should watch it, because Norm does a joke that he saw Letterman do when he was a 13-year-old boy in Toronto, and he could barely get through it. He was so choked up, and it was just, as far as sincere tribute from someone who's known for being a smart aleck, I think that's why it was especially effective.
Yeah, because he kind of let out his realness.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, that's such a difference when you see the depth of a person, the fact that, you know, he was so moved, and even Letterman was taken back with how emotional he got. And to see him just kind of be open and real and just get through it, it was, I have a lot more respect for him. I thought he was just kind of effing around a lot of the time, you know?
Same, and especially backed up with comedy like that. I read, there's obviously a lot being written about the Letterman finale, and I read something that Tina Fey said, which is every guy she met in college spoke with his affectation and cadence. And it's so true. I think what I learned from Letterman, not that we do the same thing, not that I ever could, but a lot of the bits that he did on his show, he did just because. They didn't have to be born out of anything. He did them just because they were funny or silly or non sequiturs, like the Velcro suit, the Alka-Seltzer car, like some of the weirdest. It was groundbreaking.
Throwing stuff off the roof, squishing things. Remember, he used to crush stuff?
Yeah, or the episode where the image did a complete 360 and it was never referenced. Like the actual show, like the half hour mark, he was upside down on TV, and that had never been done. It was wild.
Yeah, remember? Remember Mergeable and Cirajoule, the two guys
you'd
go and talk to? And that was classic.
Classic.
You know, just going and just getting into these lives and letting people get to know them. And that, you know, eventually they were telling jokes together, and you just got a feel for the, you know, that's the idea of just getting into the city. And, you know, I'm sure he probably was taking a chance by doing that the first time when he would do that on the street stuff. But he connected with those people and somehow got them into the eyes of, you know, America, and had, you know, that's even bigger. Just the fact that he would do, like you said, stuff that's just kind of funny or weird, but just like, let's go talk to these two guys and initially you would think it's kind of like you might be making fun of them, but not at all. They, you know, giving them their own identity and humor and all of that stuff was amazing.
Les Moonves, who's the president of CBS, wrote a really nice piece about Letterman. He was talking about how he first came across him when Les was a bartender at a comedy club and Letterman was one of the comics at the time. And he said, the great thing about Dave, and it speaks a lot to how sensitive he is and how great he is he loves it when his guests score points. And as the old saying goes, the interviewer is the star of the show, but the interviewee has to be the star of the interview. I've said that before, but that's what really separates the goods from the greats. And he is certainly one of the greatest of all time, no question.
Yeah, I'll miss him for sure. And he, it's interesting because like 4 or 5 years ago, I would have said, you know, who's going to come up and it's in bad hands. But I mean, Fallon and Kimmel are definitely, they do, I think Fallon more than Kimmel, but, it's entertaining and they do good interviews and they come up with stuff and that ends up going viral. And I think partially Dave said he was like having a tough time not even trying to compete with that stuff, the online side of it. Like you do something at night and all of a sudden it gets 10 times bigger just virally on YouTube. And that's kind of what Fallon and Kimmel have been doing for a couple years now that Dave just doesn't even want to start.
Well, I don't blame him. I love that Kimmel,
yeah, no, for sure.
Kimmel didn't air an original show opposite Dave's finale, which is just the epitome of class and just goes to show how much Letterman means to those guys. I mean, we do a top five every couple of weeks or every few weeks. Imagine doing a top 10 for 25 years.
No, I know, and it has to be just lines. It's not like you don't get to show anything or play music. It has to be a one line that's funny. Tough stuff.
I just did a show for YTV with Sam B, who's one of the correspondents, was until recently one of the correspondents on The Daily Show. And she's a great person and a wonderful family-oriented soul. She and her husband Jason, who was also a correspondent on the show, as you probably know, they have three kids and put their kids first, and they're real family people.
She has a new talk show, too, coming out as well.
Yeah, on TBS, which is going to be incredible. Yeah. And she and Jason have sold a sitcom to TBS as well, which is loosely based on some of their kind of family road trips, and it's going to be hilarious. But I got to ask her a lot of questions about kind of Daily Show culture, and imagine, take the pressure of having to output a show every night, and now multiply it by having to be the smartest thing in America where people actually come to learn about actual news and events. That must be bizarre. Bananas.
It's funny, my kids, well, they're, you know, at that age, 7 and 9, my boys, that they'll be starting to, they're getting into the nighttime stuff on YTV, so they'll be watching the game on.
Well, it's kind of neat. That's it's nice. On Mondays finding, at 7.
Finding your way.
And my kids...
Into the hearts of my boys.
My kids have been watching it, and it's the first thing I've done that they can actually watch. Obviously, they can't watch Trailer Park, and even some of the subject matter on Mr. D's a little racy. But they have watched the first couple of episodes of Game On and really kind of dug it as a concept, aside from the fact that the old man's in it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, what is that like? That's the first time. What do they say?
They don't really talk about the fact that I'm in it so much as talk about some of the silly stuff that goes on. It's bananas how sophisticated kids are as young as they are. Yeah. Like my 3-year-old has a dynamite sense of humor. It's crazy. Pre-wired, man.
No, it's great. My daughter's very funny too. She does stuff at 4 years old where I'm like, what? I remember yesterday, and sounds like such a daddy thing to tell a story.
That's all right.
About it, but there was like a, you know, she's always got, you know, in kindergarten, there's boys that sit with her at lunch and other boys that like hang out. And she likes some boys just like girls, you know what I mean? So. This one boy was kind of, I guess trying to sit with her too much. And she's like, and I say, so Annalise, what did you say when he wanted to sit down? And she's like, I just said, whatever. And she throws her eyes around like, whatever, like who cares? Sit down.
I didn't know
it, not sweating it.
That the muscle to roll your eyes was even developed before you were a teenager. What's with her?
It's like the idea of like, it's like, I'm not into you, dude, but sit here if you want to eat your lunch. But like, we're not, that's about it.
And that kid got schooled yesterday at preschool because that's what your life's going to be like, bud. It's going to be a lot of whatever's coming your way.
Oh, I'm just feeling whatever salad, right?
Whatever salad.
Hold on. Yeah,
bye. We'll take a break on TNT and be right back to wrap her up. How's that sound?
Sounds perfect.
Hang on, bud.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
Hey, 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 hey.
It's Taggart Torrance Podcast.
And maybe we need a jingle, bud. How about that?
Or maybe it's, hey, it's the bud. Maybe we get Brad to lay one down. It's the bud.
Hey, bud. You guys are bods.
I like how partway through the last word in a line, you think he's not going to have enough air, and he goes, bah.
Yeah.
But he lands it.
For sure.
Bods.
Hey, do you have any, do you ever try to, like, popularize phrases in your house with your kids? I'm
all the time.
I'm just really excited about this one that I don't know why I did it, but when I make them ice cream cones, I say,
yeah.
Do you want it normal or alien size? Just because I just thought, like, you know, when you go to stores when you're a kid and they have, like, the ridiculous meaning, no meaning name, but it sounds fun. So I'll be like,
how many scoops is alien size?
Yeah, no, it's just a bit bigger, but it's gotten to the point where they like call it out now. And it's like, I want an ice cream alien size, all of them from 9 to 4.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, would you ever answer you want regular?
Yeah, no, but you know, sometimes kids will be like, yeah, whatever, try, like, quit trying to say it. But I've brought it down enough to like sneaking it in there. Do you want normal or just alien size? And they're right hook, line, sinker into alien size now.
I love alien size.
Almost like
is there any other Taggart vernacular?
That's just, I'm just more excited about that I've popularized it and it's almost like become the have to, and I'm thinking it might even like bleed into other things, like other foods that they like and they want more of. But yeah, alien size is just so classic and campy.
I love that it's got a 60s quality to it, and it's not even like huge or that much different. It's slightly bigger.
Yeah, just it's more the phrase that the kids have. Do you got any in the Torrance household? Any pet names?
Yeah, we have a few. They're kind of on the nose. For some reason, a TV show. It started when Shug was a baby. There are showy shows.
Showy shows.
Yeah, you want to watch a showy show? I don't know why it just stuck,
and it's staying too. That's when it's.
But as someone who loves words, I'm always trying to get new expressions to take off. Like I can't stop saying "tote bag" instead of "totally," and it's really kind of valley girl and weird.
Yeah,
but "tote bag" comes up all the time, and I've been saying "will do, mildew," and it doesn't even make sense. And I don't like myself when it comes out of my mouth. But that's been happening a lot.
Will do, mildew. That is, such.
Hey, can you be there for 8 o'clock tomorrow? Will do, mildew.
That's some heavy dad talk right there.
I guess.
Right?
Nice. I guess, but I don't know. It's kind of nice to have dad talk with your kids, isn't it? When you want to remember your dad was kind of silly and liked to joke around.
Yeah, for sure. Like my dad used to, he would sometimes fart and do a pirouette, like hold his hands out and like spin so it creates like a fan room.
Really?
Yeah. Like you put one arm like as if he were to be making like a funnel or a fan at the back of a boat or whatever. So it's just when he's spinning around and all of a sudden you smell everything.
There are, when you say used to, do you mean when you were a little kid?
Yeah, yeah, just weird stuff to you know, stir it up while kids are watching TV, go right in front of them and do something like that, a pirouette fart with the fan move.
That's, there are a lot of aunts, like older aunts that have covers for that stuff, like if they're gaseous, they say, go away, Fido, I'll feed you later, or someone's at the door, like those kind of covers for that stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever have like the uncle that used to like pinch you or like really grab, bite, like like grab you hard, too hard? Big tough uncle.
Like Uncle Noogies?
Yeah, like just beating the shit out of you most of the time. I had an uncle that was Uncle William, and he was hard, like a heavy duty, was in the Second World War, and like had been through everything, and was very tough. And yeah, he would like grab your hand and put it behind your back in like some like POW hold.
Whoa.
Or like grab your thumb and put it, you know, like when they do that, wardens in a jail will grab your thumb and put it around your back so you can't move.
Like just trying to toughen you up, joking around.
Yeah,
style.
Or like just pinch you, or you know what I mean? Like just really hardcore, borderline like assault.
My brother used to, when I was a kid, sit on me and use my own hands to hit myself.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah.
He's hitting me with my own hands, going, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Stop hitting yourself. You're kind of laughing, and you're kind of winded, and you're kind of furious.
Oh, how about the gut, the held down while the spit's coming and sucked back up into the mouth right in front of your face move?
Who did that, Jetson?
Everybody. Like, that was like, if it wasn't my brothers or the cousin, like, you're on the grass, and it's like, sucking it right
there
up,
are two
right,
things.
It's about to hit your face. And then, of course,
there are two things that make me furious.
You just get a loogie right in your face, like a big hawker. So
that's such a bully
so
move.
So greasy, oh, for sure.
That's right. That's Chet, the older brother from Weird Science.
Oh, man.
Remember with Kelly LeBrock and Anthony Michael Hall?
I remember once, like, guys doing stupid in the category of guys doing dumb shit. My brother and his buddy down the road in Mansfield when we were kids, he you know, when you hold your breath and the other guy squeezes you and then you like kind of pass out. You ever done that one? Where you hold your breath and then all of a sudden you get squished and you kind of get let go and see what happens. My brother did it to the other guy and he like fell right face first into the like dirt road. And was like out for like 30 seconds.
Oh.
He like gets up and there's like rocks stuck in his lips and his face.
Oh, wow.
Just so stupid. I think it was called like choke or whatever. Let's play choke.
Boys are so stupid. There are two things that make me furious. One is towel snapping.
Yeah.
And the other is the wet willy.
Yeah, wet willy suck. Joke is
it just
more
makes
like
me.
I remember my brother and I would play joke. You go to the room and put a towel around your neck and then you lean back and for like 10 seconds and then all of a sudden you get the whirlies. It's just so stupid. You do it like 2-3 times and then you have a bad headache. You're just killing brain cells. Just so stupid.
Like joke. Just to see what happens.
Talk about what would boredom, eh? I guess now that's
talk
impossible.
About
no one
boredom.
Can be that bored now with technology.
I think a little boredom probably was good for people because you have to use your imagination to come up with games. I mean, choke is a bad example. But
how about
making
Chuck
forts?
Chuck the Boot? That was another one. My brother
what
and
is
I would
Chuck
play.
The Boot?
Jetson would be on the other bed and I'd be on my bed and it'd be a steel-toe boot. And it's you just throw it and you have to accept where it lands. So it's like you toss it in the air and it's like you're always trying to hit the guy in the nuts every time. But yeah, when you get hit, you got to take it. Chuck the boot.
That's a game where no one wins.
No, totally. Steel toe boot. A big, big boot. Dad's work boot.
I used to have a neighbor that would chase a Sobeys bag around in the wind.
Come on, no. Like, here we go. Let's go do it. Throw it.
Toss her up. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
You see him like I'm doing that thing where I chase the bag around?
Yeah, it was a girl.
Wow. Was she all there?
Well, I don't know. It's either genius or a little off, depending on how you look at it. But, like, that's a game anyone can play. Oh, that's using your imagination.
Sylvie's bag. Just fire it out the window.
Chuck the bag up in the wind and let her fly and try to catch it before it hits the ground.
Chasing it all happy. Like, yes, it's on.
Yeah. Sometimes the bag wins, sometimes you win.
You know, the anticipation of I can't wait to get out there.
Sometimes you're the Sobeys bag, sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes you're the Sobeys bag, sometimes you're the bod.
And she's just throwing the bag around, having a run in the bag. A bag run.
Half in the bag.
And it's Sobeys bag.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Always a Sobeys bag.
Yeah. As my friend Pete Anthony, who says, who's a great stand-up comic, on the East Coast, you don't refer to them as plastic bags. Like, it's the same as Kleenex. People call them Sobeys bags. Where's your mom keep her Sobeys bags?
That's, yeah, exactly. Isn't, that's Ken Reed's brother, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, an entertainment dynasty.
Yes. Good old Ken. Kenny's funny.
We should, I want to see pictures of folks playing, and we need a name for Bag in the Wind.
Yes. Yeah, what do you call
Sobeys bag in the Wind. I don't know.
All we are is
windbag. Windbag.
Wow, what a game.
Send us your pictures of playing windbag, because I want to see them.
Or maybe you can think up a game that you played as a kid that was just as ridiculous. You know, the no time or too much time games, I guess you would call them, right?
Yeah.
It's the equivalent to...
Like whittling sticks, making forts.
Oh, yeah, making
forts. That's the stuff of Canadianity, but...
Letting air out of tractor tires in the neighbor's barn. That wasn't...
Sometimes when your dad would make a fort, he'd spin around with his hands over his head.
I remember one time we came across a bunch of dead animals behind a guy's house. Like hanging dogs and stuff.
What?
That's not a cool sport or fun game.
That's a terrible sport.
Like dozens of dead animals, like dogs and cats, but like all hung up. It's like, remind me not to go by that guy's place at Halloween.
Why on earth would you like to... I have so many questions about that, and I feel like we should leave them on the table for next time.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely like we called the cops type thing. Definitely.
I would say.
Yeah.
Hey, like, was he the wayward drifter who lived in an abandoned shack in your neighborhood, or was that, like, Mr. Peterson?
Yeah. No, it's like, that guy may or may not be a murderer, because he's murdering the hell out of animals.
Yikes.
Yikes is right.
Only place I want to be.
Yikers Island.
Yikers Island's a good one.
Yeah.
And you say what F salad, too.
That's another good one, yeah. That's a Taggart household traitor. Yeah.
What F salad, bud.
Hey, bud, good times this week. 41, bud.
Real good times. 41 in the can. Stand by because 42 is coming up next week. Thanks for listening, bud. Yeah, hey, by the way, before we go,
what?
400,000 downloads on iTunes.
Oh, that's horny, bud.
That's mind-boggling.
That's awesome.
Thank you
Thank for listening. Thank you, folks.
And we'll talk to you next week, bud.
Fucking right, eh?